الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا.
Men are the protectors and maintainers of women because Allah has made one of them excel over the other and because they spend out of their possessions to support them. Thus, righteous women are obedient and guard the rights of men in their absence under Allah's protection. As for women of whom you fear rebellion, admonish them and remain apart from them in beds and beat them. Then, if they obey you, do not seek ways to harm them. Allah is the Exalted, the Great. Men are the protectors and maintainers of women.
A qawam or qayyim is a person responsible for administering and supervising the affairs of either an individual or an organization, for protecting and safeguarding them and taking care of their needs.
Because Allah has made one of them excel over the other.
The verb used here, a derivative of the root fadl, is not used to mean that some people have been invested with superior honor and dignity. Rather, it means that God has endowed one of the sexes, for instance the male sex, with certain qualities which he has not endowed the other sex with, at least not to an equal extent. Thus, it is the male who is qualified to function as head of the family. The female has been so constituted that she should live under his care and protection.
Thus, righteous women are obedient and guard the rights of men in their absence under Allah's protection.
It is reported in a tradition from the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he said, "The best wife is she who, if you look at her, will please you, who, if you bid her to do something, will obey, and who will safeguard herself and your property in your absence." This tradition contains the best explanation of the above verse. It should be borne in mind, however, that obedience to God has priority over a woman's duty to obey her husband. If a woman's husband either asks her to disobey God or prevents her from performing a duty imposed upon her by God, she should refuse to carry out his command. Obedience to her husband in this case would be a sin. However, were the husband to prevent his wife from performing either supererogatory prayer or fasting as distinct from the obligatory ones, she should obey him, for such acts would not be accepted by God if performed by a woman in defiance of her husband's wish.
As for women of whom you fear rebellion, admonish them and remain apart from them in beds and beat them.
This does not mean that a man should resort to these three measures all at once, but that they may be employed if a wife adopts an attitude of obstinate defiance. So far as the actual application of these measures is concerned, there should naturally be some correspondence between the fault and the punishment that is administered. Moreover, it is obvious that wherever a light touch can prove effective, one should not resort to sterner measures. Whenever the Prophet, peace be upon him, permitted a man to administer corporal punishment to his wife, he did so with reluctance and continued to express his distaste for it. And even in cases where it is necessary, the Prophet, peace be upon him, directed men not to hit across the face, nor to beat severely, nor to use anything that might leave marks on the body.
وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبَعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا خَبِيرًا.
If you fear a breach between the two, appoint an arbitrator from his people and an arbitrator from her people. If they both want to set things right, Allah will bring about reconciliation between them.
Allah knows all, is well aware of everything. And if they both want to set things right,
the statement, if they both want to set things right, may be interpreted as referring either to the mediators or to the spouses concerned. Every dispute can be resolved providing the parties concerned desire reconciliation, and the mediators too are keen to remove the misunderstandings between them and to bring them together. Allah knows all, is well aware of everything. Whenever the relationship between a husband and a wife starts to break down, an attempt should first be made to resolve the dispute at the family level before it is aggravated and leads to the disruption of the matrimonial tie. The procedure to be followed is that two persons, one on behalf of each family, should be nominated to look into the matter together and devise means whereby the misunderstanding between the spouses may be brought to an end. Who should nominate these mediators? God has not specified this so as to allow people full freedom to choose the most convenient arrangement. The parties would be free, for instance, to decide that the mediators be nominated either by the spouses themselves or by the elders of their respective families. If the dispute is brought before the court, the latter also has the right to nominate mediators, representing the families of both parties, before referring the matter for a judicial verdict. There is disagreement among Muslim jurists about the extent of the mediator's authority. The Hanafi and Shafi schools are of the opinion that they normally have no authority to issue a binding verdict. All they may do is to recommend the solution they advocate, whereafter the spouses have the right either to accept it or to reject it. The exception is if the spouses have nominated the mediators to act on their behalf in regard to either talaq or kul, they will then be bound by their verdict. This is the opinion of the Hanafi and Shafi schools. Another group of jurists argues that the authority of the mediators is confined to deciding how the spouses should reconcile their differences and does not extend to the annulment of marriage. This is the opinion of Hasan al-Basri and Qatada, among others. Yet another group holds the opinion that the mediators have full authority both in respect of reconciliation and annulment of marriage. This is the opinion of Ibn Abbas, Sayyid bin Jubair, Ibrahim al-Nakhai, al-Sha'bi, Muhammad bin Sirin, and several other authorities. The precedents which have come down from early Islam, however, are the judgments of Uthman and Ali. These indicate that they conferred upon the mediators the authority to issue judgments binding on both parties. When the dispute between Aqil bin Abi Talib and his wife Fatima binte Utba binte Rabia came up for the judgment of Uthman, he nominated Ibn Abbas and Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan from the families of the husband and the wife respectively. He also told them that if they thought that separation was preferable, they should declare the marriage annulled. In a similar dispute, Ali nominated mediators and authorized them either to bring about reconciliation or annul the marriage, whichever they considered appropriate. This shows that the mediators do not have judicial authority as such. Such authority, however, may be conferred upon them by the courts, in which case their decision will have the force of a judicial verdict.
وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا.
Serve Allah and ascribe no partner to Him. Do good to your parents, to near of kin, to orphans, and to the needy, and to the neighbor who is of kin, and to the neighbor who is a stranger, and to the companion by your side, and to the wayfarer, and to those whom your right hands possess. Allah does not love the arrogant and the boastful, and to the companion by your side.
The expression al-sahib bi al-janb, the companion by your side, embraces those with whom one has friendly relations of an abiding nature, as well as those with whom one's relationship is transient. For instance, either the person who walks beside one on the way to the market, or who sits beside one while buying things from the same shop, or one's fellow traveler. Even this temporary relationship imposes certain claims on every refined and decent person, that he should treat him as far as possible in a kind and gracious manner and avoid causing him any inconvenience. Even this temporary relationship imposes certain claims on every refined and decent person, that he should treat him as far as possible in a kind and gracious manner and avoid causing him any inconvenience.
الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا.
Who are niggardly and bid others to be niggardly and conceal the bounty which Allah has bestowed upon them. We have kept in readiness a humiliating chastisement for such deniers of Allah's bounty, who are niggardly, and bid others to be niggardly, and conceal the bounty which Allah has bestowed upon them.
Concealing God's bounty is to live as if God had not bestowed that bounty. If anyone has considerable wealth and yet lives at a standard strikingly lower than that warranted by his income, if he shuns spending on himself and his family, and also on helping other creatures of God, and avoids providing financial support to any philanthropic cause, then he creates the false impression of being in a state of financial stringency. This is sheer ingratitude to God. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is reported according to a tradition as saying, "If God confers a bounty on somebody, he would like to see that benefaction displayed." This means that a person's day-to-day life, his eating and drinking, his dress and his abode, and his spending on others, all these should reflect God's bounty.
وَالَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَنْ يَكُنِ الشَّيْطَانُ لَهُ قَرِينًا فَسَاءَ قَرِينًا.
Allah does not love those who spend out of their wealth to make a show of it to people, when in fact they neither believe in Allah nor in the last day. And he who has taken Satan for a companion has indeed taken for himself a very bad companion.
وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا.
What harm would have befallen them if they had believed in Allah and the last day and spent on charity what Allah had bestowed upon them as sustenance? For Allah indeed has full knowledge of them.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِن لَّدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا.
Indeed, Allah wrongs none, not even as much as an atom's weight. Whenever a man does good, he multiplies it twofold and bestows out of it his grace, a mighty reward.
فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا.
Consider then, when we shall bring forward witnesses from every community, and will bring you, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, as a witness against them all. And will bring you, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, as a witness against them all.
The prophet of each age will stand as a witness before God against his people. He will testify that he conveyed to them the true way of life, and showed them the right outlook and the fundamentals of moral conduct revealed to him by God. The testimony of the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will be to the same effect. And the Quran indicates that he will stand as a witness to the period beginning with his advent as a prophet right through to the Day of Judgment.
يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَعَصَوُا الرَّسُولَ لَوْ تُسَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا.
Those who disbelieved and disobeyed the messenger will wish on that day that the earth were leveled with them. They will not be able to conceal anything from Allah.